do keep that in mind. We'll have we will be here tomorrow. It'll be a repeat show tomorrow of today's program. Then Monday we'll have
This is the Quality News Network. Hopes are dimming for a quick solution to the fighting between Israel and Lebanon as Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice heads back to the White House with what she describes as a new plan for peace. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says attacks will continue on Lebanon until Hezbollah returns two Israeli soldiers kidnapped 3 weeks ago. A 48-hour hold on Israeli airstrikes has included more bombing of southern Lebanon. Israel maintained the right to hit targets that it considers an immediate threat. Today it mistakenly hit a Lebanese military vehicle, killing several soldiers and an aide to a Lebanese general. Yesterday's bombing of an apartment house in Qana, Lebanon, killed an estimated 60 civilians. Most of the victims were women and children. Israeli leaders have expressed regret for both incidents, but say Hezbollah must share the blame. The UN Security Council has voted to continue their peacekeeping mission in Lebanon for one more month. Meantime, civilians in Lebanon continue to make their way north during the 48-hour hold on airstrikes. The UN Security Council has indefinitely postponed a meeting on the formation of a new international peacekeeping force for the area. In Iraq, four more U.S. Marines killed over the weekend in the country's Anbar province, a total of eight Marines killed in that area since late last week. Gunmen dressed like Iraqi security forces kidnapped a total of 26 people from two central Baghdad locations today. 12 were taken from the Iraqi American Chamber of Commerce, another 14 from a communications company. Five more people were pulled from their car and shot to death in Tikrit, north of Baghdad. There's been an exchange of command in southern Afghanistan as NATO forces take over from the United States. It's the biggest ground operation in the Allied history of the war. Meantime, in the eastern city of Jalalabad, a bomb blast inside a police car killed eight Afghans, including five police officers and three children. Firefighters have yet to gain control over a worsening brush fire in northern Nevada. Fire officials say flames have covered an area comparable to three cities the size of Las Vegas. So far, no buildings have been damaged. No injuries have been reported. America's Midwest and Southern states sizzling under a blanket of triple-digit heat.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
A recent study indicates that more Americans are working while on vacation. 43% of vacationers say they continue at least some of their work-related duties while on break. That's up from 23% a decade ago. Cigarette maker Reynolds American posted a 50% boost in second quarter profits. Company officials point to higher selling prices and increased productivity. Company officials from Microsoft handing over more paperwork to the European Union concerning a 2001 antitrust order. EU regulators say they still aren't sure whether more fines will be levied. The Food and Drug Administration considering a proposal to allow the morning-after contraceptive pill to be sold over-the-counter to adult females. The pill called Plan B is manufactured by Bar Pharmaceuticals. Boeing has been awarded an $81 billion contract by the U.S. Air Force for aircraft maintenance and support for the Royal Australian Air Force. Avon Products says its second quarter profit dropped 54%, mostly due to charges from a restructuring program meant to help stir up lagging sales. Light sweet crude oil at $74.40 a barrel. That's up $1.16 on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 35 points. The NASDAQ down 3 points. S&P 500 down 2 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' gains, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, welcome once more, one more time again to the last day of July here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Glad to have you back with me. Glad to have you around. Wow, what a crazy, just the world is on fire, man. It is on fire, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think sometimes, how do they put it? You know, sometimes when you have those forest fires, you have to light a ring to keep it from consuming even more. But it's been an interesting weekend, and a lot of things have been developing. And but what I plan to do today on the program today. Is talk about the crimes of the Bush cabal. Let's talk about the crimes of the Bush crime family, as our good friend Mike Malloy likes to talk about. Amazing. If you've never heard the Mike Malloy show, you got to check him out. A really amazing guy. He's a good friend of the Head On Radio Network as well. So we love to hear Mike, and he apparently listens to us as well. So, but. We're looking at a lot of different things today. The Democrats are coming out and saying that they believe there's 26 specific crimes George Bush himself has committed. John Conyers is sharpening up his gavel, from what I understand. If you want to talk about good news. Good news is that according to NPR recently, I don't have the results of the poll in front of me, but according to every poll that I saw, I went to pollingreport.com over the weekend. Every poll going back 6 months says that the Democrats have an edge to win the House of Representatives. And should the Democrats take control of the House of Representatives, John Conyers of Michigan, the ranking Judiciary Committee member, will be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and will hold the wonderful title of chairman and will have the wonderful power of subpoena power. And that James Senseless Brenner guy, he can be relegated to the cloakroom, and he can be relegated to the little closet in the basement of the Capitol to hold his hearings, right? But John Conyers, there's a report that's going to be coming out. We'll talk about that. If you want to get in on the show today, again, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You can also email me if you are so inclined to do that. You can email me Bruce@BruceBirch, and that's B-U-R-C-H, Bruce@BruceBirch.com, Bruce@BruceBirch.com. I also have a blog site over at BruceBirch.com. Every day that I am on the air, I try to get up a show post. Some days it's a little late. Today I was a little early, actually, so it's up there, and you can go check that out. Also, later on in the show, I will have Sarah Rich on. Sarah is the mother of Suzanne Swift, who is an Army specialist stationed currently at Fort Lewis, Washington, who was sexually assaulted by a number of her fellow soldiers. And the powers that be are going to redeploy her to Iraq under the same command, under the same people that committed the crimes against her. She is trying to fight that that deployment, and we'll have her mom on this afternoon to talk about that situation and what you can do to help fight against that idea. But the first thing that we're going to do, before we get too far off into the radio program, by the way, also, just not, and this is not an aside, but if you are listening to this show, and if you would, you should go over to our chat room, and you can if you go to headonradionetwork.com. Now, this show is being streamed world freaking wide by the Head On Radio Network, and you can go over to headonradionetwork.com. On the front page there, if you look on the left, there's a little link to the chat room. I highly suggest you go into the chat room. Check those folks out. There's a number of people in there now. They're talking. They're saying that they need to have a Bruce icon with a cigar. If you know me at all, you know that I like good cigars. So, all right. Yeah. Welcome, guys. Glad to have you there. See, we've got TSM, Ray Dean, Liberal Me, ELO, and of course I'm in there as well. So do go check that out if you get a chance. And I'd like to also welcome any new listeners. Glad to have you aboard. If you've never listened to the program before, glad to have you with me. All right, get on with the show. Now, we've talked about some in the past. We've talked about some of the crimes of the Bush administration and some of the things that they have done. You know, we have, but you know. It's a lot of the crimes, if you will, you know, we want to talk about. Let's use the word crimes. All right, crimes. Now these crimes. The word crimes is pretty much. You would envision that this is an act that somebody has committed that would be illegal. Well, you would be true. You would be correct to assume that about crimes. Now the other thing to think about is crimes against our nature as the American people, and one of those that I can think of in particular is the fact that, this current administration has openly and unabashedly used their power and influence to better their financial standing. That, to me, is totally unethical. But, in the world of Republican land, raking in the money at other people's expense is a good thing. You know, as long as you're making a good profit, you're successful, and it doesn't matter if you have principles or not. Now, what we're going to be talking about some this afternoon is the crimes that have been established by a body called the Bush Crimes Commission. It's the International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration. And going to try later on in the week to have someone, one of the commission members, on to talk about their work. But we're going to start out with the indictments, okay? I'm going to start out with the indictments, and we'll talk about these as we go through them because we have to get a public record out there of this stuff, and we have to take a look at it more in depth than just to say, oh, they're a bunch of crazy freaks, you know, crusading around the Middle East trying to take over the world, right? I mean, we all know that to be true, but it's also good to sort of document the very nature of some of the things that they have done, I got to tell you, it just seems to be, it's just ludicrous to me how we can continue on in this nation, you know, without taking to the streets. I've done a lot of marching out and demonstrating and that kind of thing because I believe that it's very important for you to put your feet on the street and do what you believe and say what needs to be said. I also believe that there is another way to do that as well, not just by protesting. We talked about this a little bit last week. I did a show, I think it was Thursday, a show about peace and how to, and you know, one of the speakers that I had, you know, a clip of one of the speaking engagements of Martin Luther King from the Riverside Church in New York, where he said, if we continue to organize for this cause or for that cause or for the other cause, then it'll just be a bunch of preachers constantly organizing around things. What we need to do is create a monumental shift in American policy, and we need to create a groundswell, a grassroots shift of how we interact with other nations, how we interact with ourselves, with our foreign policy, with our domestic policy. And the first thing that we need to do is, if the nation is wrapped around profit motive as opposed to human capital, I'm speaking in businessman's terms now, then we have a problem. Capitalism is great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you we need to be a communist state or a socialist state. What I am saying is that the free market capitalism of the Bush administration is totally exploitative of those it encounters. And that is a crime against us. That's a crime against this society. But we'll talk a little bit more about the crimes of the Bush cabal here as soon as we get back from our break. You are listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. This is Radio for a Freer America right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. the nonprofit CAPTCHA Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the CAPTCHA Media Program today. Bookmark CFV.org for free loan open caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
That's kind of how I feel when I think about the Bush administration. Took all my money and my brand new car, and now they're out running around with my good time buddies, and they're hanging in some crosstown bar. But anyway, glad to be back with you again this afternoon. It's about 20 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. I've got some interesting stuff that I wanted to share with you from the Bush Crime Commission, and let's go ahead and get into the meat of some of that stuff. The indictments that they have put forth against the Bush crime family, they're not calling them the Bush crime family, the Bush crime family, but we all know who they are. Indictment number one, wars of aggression, count number one of the first indictment. The commission will inquire into the following charges. Count number one, the Bush administration authorized a war of aggression against Iraq. Count number two, the Bush administration authorized conduct of the war that involved the commission of war crimes. Count number three, the Bush administration authorized the occupation of Iraq involving and continuing to involve the commission of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and other illegal acts. What have we seen that would indicate that as far as war crimes, crimes against humanity? I do remember on the show Fourth Estate Radio that I have done with my friend John Fox on Saturdays at 10, we talked about the fact that white phosphorus was used in Fallujah, I believe it was, and that's chemical warfare, folks. For those of you who aren't aware of that, you know, we used a chemical device in war against Iraq. Now, we invaded them because we believe that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, right? The so-called WMDs that have not yet been found. No matter what Santorum would like for you to believe, they have not yet been found. What was found was something that was related to the Iran-Iraq war and was, it's almost 20 years old, 15 years old anyway. But they used white phosphorus, for instance, in Iraq. You know, another thing that happened over in Iraq was the incident at Abu Ghraib and some of the other prisons that have happened that have gone on over there. There have been soldiers who have, and I'm not, going to down the entire military because, as in every group, there's always some freak, right? I mean, we got our freak running the country right now. But there were soldiers that have gone into families and just killed everyone. I mean, this stuff has all happened. There has been mass murder over there by some of our soldiers. And, as much as I hate to say it, yes, it has happened. How do we deal with it? Well, that's something we will get into a little bit later, but point being is that some of that has occurred, and we cannot deny it, because to deny it would not be honoring the spirit of our nation, would it? The Bush administration has engaged in torture and indefinite detention. Count number one of torture. The Bush administration authorized the use of torture and abuse in violation of international humanitarian and human rights law and domestic constitutional and statutory law. A number of laws there that have been kind of like subverted or broken or ignored altogether. With regard to rendition, the Bush administration authorized the transfer or rendition of persons held in U.S. custody to foreign countries where torture is known to be practiced. If how you're going to treat this person is so above board, then why do you need to send them somewhere else where it is obvious that they can be tortured? Doesn't make very much sense, does it? Unless, of course, the aim is to torture, right? Count number three, the Bush administration authorized the indefinite detention of persons seized in foreign combat zones and in other countries far from any combat zone and denied them the protections of the Geneva Conventions on the Treatment of Prisoners of War and the protections of the U.S. Constitution. These people were held in limbo without any sort of legal recourse aside from the kangaroo court set up by the military down in Guantanamo Bay. That is changing, and there is a law that was, or I should say, a bill that was proposed Friday that would change all of that. Of course, it hasn't been enacted yet, and of course, it is so, I don't want to use the word liberal, but it is so liberal with the idea of justice that it's barely, I don't know that you can even assign the word justice to it. Count number four, the Bush administration authorized the roundup and detention in the United States of tens of thousands of immigrants on pretextual grounds and held them without charge or trial in violation of international human rights law and domestic constitutional and civil rights law. Count number five, the Bush administration used military forces to seize and detain indefinitely without charges U.S. citizens, denying them the right to challenge their detention in U.S. courts. Jose Padilla comes to mind. And guess what? He has been charged, finally. Murder. Count number six, the Bush administration committed murder by allowing the CIA to kill those that the president designates, either U.S. citizens or non-citizens anywhere in the world. Wow. And we need to we'll talk about that some. I got to tell you though, I think it's absolutely repugnant though that we have a situation now where we have independent crime commissions set up that have gathered enough evidence. I mean, this is not just blind rhetoric, folks. You know, I wish, you know, I'm not that good. I can't just spew lies. Without, you know, there's got to be something there, some meat behind it for me to look into it and say, okay, yeah, I'm willing to say this on air. And the bottom line is that, you know, based on some of these indictments, there's some truth behind every one of these ideas. You know, and we'll talk about some of that. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back and head over to the phone lines, and then we'll get back to some of this a little bit later. You are listening to the Bruce Virch Radio Program. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me. Please do. Bruce@BruceVirch.com. I'll be right back after this break.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
I can feel no sense of measure, no illusions as we take refuge in young man's pleasure, breaking down the dreams we make real.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 33 minutes past the hour here on this Monday afternoon. Glad to have you back with us. Now, I'm going to go straight over to the phone lines and pick up a telephone call, and then we'll get back into some of the indictments of the Bush crime family. Looks like our good friend Jim is joining us. Jim, how are you this afternoon, sir?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better.
Good, good. You know, it would appear as though the format of what you're talking about pretty much follows the Nuremberg Protocol. Crimes against peace, crimes against humanity, waging aggressive war. But
it is very similar, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very similar. And it would appear to me from what has happened that, well, who would be sitting in judgment on these people if they were to be indicted and hauled before the bar of justice?
Who would be sitting in judgment? Well, I think obviously that would have to get worked out as that happens. At this point, this commission is an independent body, so it's not affiliated with the World Court, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would imagine that if given enough legs, that could be the end result, is to go to The Hague.
Well, pretty much you'd have to have a defeated nation and a nation willing to, or defeated in the sense that section of the government or the people involved for us to turn them over to the World Court. But once you did that, I think they would be in some very serious trouble.
Well, and you know, I can't help but think, Jim, that that would raise
any offense that they haven't committed that cannot be, you know, cannot be a capital offense.
Well, here's my thinking, Jim, and you know what? I might be very crazy for saying this, and I'm sure that someone will tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm crazy, which I am a little both some of the time.
Oh,
but,
me too. I enjoy it. By the way, I'm no longer in the Marinosphere. I'm at the North Pole with Little Richard.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, what I was going to say is that I can't help but think that if we were to do something like that, if we were to willingly turn over a former leader of our country that we know has committed mass crimes against humanity, that would raise our status almost instantly around the world within the civilized nations of the world that are looking at us like we're a bunch of barbarians at this point.
Well, right now we are pariahs before the rest of the entire world community. I mean, you know, I'm sure they probably regard us in the same vein as they did Hitler's Third Reich.
I'm sure some do.
I mean, you know, and I think this would be, if they could do this, it would definitely be a palliative measure as far as the problem in the Middle East is concerned. It would show those people over there that someone here, you know, has some sense of justice and, you know, perhaps it could go a long way toward extinguishing some of the flames that are just literally tearing that part of the country apart. And, you know, somebody's going to have to pay for this.
Well, somebody's going to have to, and I'm not sure how that's...
What the mechanics will be, but I would hope that under the terms of the indictment that you're going to talk about that, you know, and, you know, crimes against humanity, that pretty much is a blanket statement, I would think, that would cover most of what you're going to say, correct?
Yes.
Crimes against humanity of one sort or another?
Yes.
Because that's basically the way it worked in 1946 at the Palace of Justice in Nuremberg, but I do hope that something like that will happen and that people will be called, these people, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld. And, you know, I'm afraid you're going to have certain military personalities brought into this as well because, you know, the thing about being in the military, Bruce, you know, the military is basically the instrument of the politicians, and they do the unthinkable. You know, they do what the politicians themselves don't want to do but get them to do because what they do sometimes is unthinkable. And, you know, that's what's happening here when you're talking about the use of phosphorus, the use of different agents against people. And,
depleted
you know,
uranium.
A third world country with no real chance of even, you know, let's face it, that country had as much of a chance of standing up against us as all the Netherlands did against the Panzers when they rolled over in 1940. Except, you know, the only thing that's been in our splash has been that, you know, insurgency. But nonetheless, again, it would appear to me as though these crimes would be very serious and they would set a good example for the rest of the world and hopefully bring us back into the arena of civilized and respected nations. Hope so.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, you know, part of what we have to do as citizens is continue the work of documenting this and bringing it out in front of the, you know, in the court of public opinion, because the bottom line here is that many of these indictments, if you will, or many of these occurrences, you know, have easily been swept under the rug, you know, in the ADD media world.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, it's like, you know, every news story, I don't care how bad it is, has a shelf life of about 36 hours. And then it's on to the next thing.
That's
you know?
About it.
And I'm looking at a story right now that was just shared by our friend Peter. He just shared this with me, and it's apparently there is construction that has begun on a vast germ warfare laboratory near Washington intended to help protect the U.S. against an attack with biological weapon, but the laboratory's work will violate international law and its extreme secrecy will exacerbate a biological arms race. Oh, joy.
Well, you know, they had this back in 1945. The Japanese were developing strains of typhus and cholera.
Yep.
And other diseases, and plague, and smallpox. It was called the A-something program. And we took the guy who was the head of that program and took him straight over to, well, I guess, where the proponents for germ warfare is, that he's Fort Detrick, Maryland. And, you know, this guy did work for us.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, that's the same place where the new $128 million 160,000 square foot laboratory will be built.
Have you ever seen that place?
No, I have not. I've never seen it, no.
Well, it's a place you don't want to get messed up in. I mean, it's pretty ominous looking innocuous looking from the outside, but it's sort of ominous because a lot of strange things go on in there. Things that you would not even want to imagine. But, you know, let's hope that these things will come to fruition and that we can get some people, you know, in the dock, because that's where I would like to see these people, in the dock, just like they had those guys, you know, at Nuremberg. I'd like to see them face their accusers.
I'd like to see them face their accusers also. I think that if justice, I have an inherent belief in the power, if you will, of, you know, you have your belief in your religious belief, and I have my belief in sort of an overriding sense that despite the hardest efforts of those who would like to prevail in their nastiness and in their actions, that justice does always prevail to some degree. You know, it may not be the kind of result that I want or that you want, but there always will be a check that will sort of put a kibosh on what people do. So,
and I would hope that it would last longer than Nuremberg and have a greater effect. You know,
well,
I hope that it would teach a very good lesson. Apparently, Nuremberg did not teach that lesson. You know,
I was going to say, because it seems like the lesson that seems to have been lasting was the one that Goebbels taught. So, that being manipulation of the populace and the media.
Oh yeah, the propagation of the big lie, and
yes,
you know
exactly.
And that was basically his métier, was doing that. And you know, if you ever have a chance, you should read his diaries. They really make interesting reading. He kept
why is that?
Just to see his train of thought and to see and see how his mind worked and to see the things that he confided in those pages. He kept diaries for most of the war, and they found a lot of them from around 42 to 44, and they showed what was going on in his mind and how he was shaping, you know, the total war concept. If Germany slipped into the abyss, they make interesting reading. You know, they really do.
Well, I'll be sure to
check
that out.
I mean, it's always good to, if you, you know, you must, in order to understand your enemy, you've got to get inside his head.
Yep.
And that's one
true
way of getting inside of what he left behind, his head, and what was going on, you know. But anyway, I'll let you get on with your program. I appreciate your time, and I hope it's not too warm down there. It's pretty hot up here.
It's pretty hot up here, too.
I understand you were in this neck of the woods yesterday.
I certainly was. I was over at our good friend Wayne's house for a Democratic county Democratic picnic, soiree.
Well, I understand it was
fest.
A resounding success. It was a real nice clam bake, and everybody had a real good time.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing, pretty good.
Okay.
I was hoping I'd run into you, Jim.
Pardon me?
I was hoping I'd run into you over there, but...
Well, maybe next time.
Alas,
maybe
it
next
was not
time
to be.
Okay.
Maybe
well,
next.
Listen, you take care and you have a good afternoon.
Okay, and you too, Jim. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
That's our good bye now. That's our good friend Jim from, apparently now he's from the North Pole, is hanging out with Little Richard. So there you go. This is a very varied program. You never know who's going to call and where they're going to be from. Or actually, maybe you do. But it's okay. It's all good. It's all good. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our break, and then we'll come back and talk about some of these other indictments. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself,
are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4, and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers, so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
Back on the Bruce Burks radio program, Radio for a Freer America, and I'm going to get right back to these to some of these indictments and what we've seen here with these indictments have been very straightforward. That there's not been any kind of deviation, if you will, excuse me, from what's been going on now. We left off with count six of torture and indefinite detention indictments. Now we're going to pick up with destruction of the global environment. And as soon as I do finish reading these, I will read you the findings, probably after the top of the hour, of this commission. Destruction of the global environment. The commission will inquire into the following charges. Count one, denial and distortion of scientific consensus and findings. The Bush administration has consistently denied the scientific consensus around global warming and its causes. Administration officials have misrepresented. That was interesting how I said that. Administration officials have misrepresented, distorted, and suppressed scientific information on the subject, especially as it would impact public opinion. Count number two, obstructionism on international efforts. The Bush administration has refused to take any measures to curb the emissions of greenhouse gases guided by narrow corporate interests. It has withdrawn from any international efforts that would impose binding restrictions, however minimal. It has done this with full knowledge of the catastrophic effects of global warming and the disproportionate U.S. share of world greenhouse gas emissions, the leading cause of global warming. Attacks on global public health. I'm just going to go ahead and get through these so we can talk about them some more. The commission will inquire. This is global health. Global attacks on global public health. Count one, the imposition of abstinence-only HIV prevention programs. The Bush administration is using its political influence, aid, and funding in the sphere of HIV/AIDS prevention and treatment to advance policies and programs that worsen the AIDS pandemic. Guided by a Christian fundamentalist ideological agenda, the administration is promoting and forcing deadly abstinence-only HIV prevention and sex education programs instead of proven comprehensive programs that comprise consistent and correct use of condoms. Count number two, imposition of the gag rule. The Bush administration has reinstated the gag rule policy, which restricts foreign organizations that receive U.S. funds from using their own non-U.S. funds to provide legal abortion services or even provide accurate medical counseling or referrals regarding abortion. This policy has led to the closing of reproductive health clinics dependent on international funding in very poor parts of the world. In many areas, these clinics have also been the only source of HIV/AIDS prevention and care programs, including the supply of much-needed and life-saving condoms. Count number three, distortion of science. The Bush administration and its political operatives have distorted sound science and attempted to suppress medical research studies in HIV prevention when it conflicts with the ideology of the Christian right. Count number four, restriction of generics. The Bush administration has used its political and economic power to coerce other countries into agreements that severely restrict the manufacture and supply of generic drugs, the only affordable option for most HIV-positive people in the third world. This is kind of depressing reading all this, but let me get through it. Okay, now, with regard to Hurricane Katrina, count number one, knowing failure of the Bush administration to adequately maintain and upgrade the levees directly contributed to the foreseeable loss of life and suffering of many people when Hurricane Katrina struck. Count number two, despite foreknowledge of Hurricane Katrina striking land as a greater than Category 3 storm and the devastation that this was cause, the Bush administration failed to implement an emergency evacuation plan for people who are in the path of the storm and unable to evacuate the area on their own. Count number three, the Bush administration neither launched an immediate rescue operation nor provided the emergency shelter, food, and water needed to save people's lives and prevent needless suffering. Count number four, federal authorities blocked the provision of emergency services, including rescue and provision of food and water on the part of other levels of government and private sources, despite the obvious need for this kind of relief. They blocked the provision of these services. Count number five, federal authorities enforced repressive conditions and eventually carried out an evacuation that separated families, including separating small children from their parents, and left many people not knowing where their loved ones were located and even if they had survived the storms. Now, the people who sat in judgment, I was going to read you something else, but the people who sat in judgment were the following panel of jurists: Adjoha A. Ayatoro, Assistant Professor of Law, University of Arkansas at Little Rock, former Executive Director, National Conference of Black Lawyers; Dennis Brutus, former prisoner, Robben Island, South Africa. He's a poet, Professor Emeritus, University of Pittsburgh; Abdeen Jabara, former president, American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee; Ajamu Sankofa, Executive Director, Physicians for Social Responsibility; and Anne Wright, former U.S. diplomat and retired U.S. Army Reserve Colonel. And the findings that they gave, which we will we'll get to after the top of the hour. I just, you know, I, reading all this, what I found in the middle of all this is sort of a direct line, if you will. There's a direct line from the president straight down all the way through the ranks of the military, straight down all the way through the ranks of the civilian enforcement, law enforcement, that seems to be a general disregard for things that are regulatory, for things that are law. And there seems to be this rewriting, if you will, of laws so that even if it was illegal, it's not now. Is this the kind of country that we've become wherein integrity is the last thing on the list to think about or look at? Because what I'm feeling and what I'm hearing and what I'm reading and what I'm seeing on the TV when I do decide to turn the damn thing on is that we have achieved a point in our nation where we have indeed become a nation of men and not of laws. And if we allow this particular president to get by with some of these things, the end result is going to be that going forward that the president can do pretty much whatever he wants. And you and I know that that's not the way things need to work, right? Well, I would like to think that's what we'd think. We're going to go ahead and take our top of the hour break here very shortly. Now, if you want to get in on the show, you can dial the number that you know what it is. It's 877-4-HEAD-ON. You can also email me, Bruce at BruceBirch.com. And as soon as we do the news, we'll come back and I'll give you the findings, and then we'll talk about another situation that's absolutely repugnant, but seems to be running the conservative ideology of what the military is about. So this is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network. I'll be back after the top of the hour.
network at the top of...
This is a quality news network. Hopes are dimming for a solution to the fighting between Israel and Lebanon. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said today that there will be no ceasefire until Hezbollah releases two Israeli soldiers. His comments came as Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice headed back to Washington to meet with President Bush about a new peace plan. In Lebanon, thousands of residents are trying to make their way north. They were taking advantage of a supposed 48-hour halt to Israeli attacks. It was called after a strike yesterday that killed nearly 60 civilians. But Israel maintained the right to hit targets that it considers an immediate threat. At least one soldier was reportedly killed today when Israel launched a strike on a Lebanese military vehicle. At the United Nations, the Security Council has indefinitely postponed a meeting to set up a new international peacekeeping force in the area. The Council is also extending its peacekeeping mission in Lebanon for another month. In the Gaza Strip, a teenager was killed and a toddler wounded in an Israeli strike. The Israeli army says the strike was aimed at militants who were launching rockets at Israel. One of those rockets hit a southern Israeli town but caused no casualties. Also in Gaza, Palestinian militants are vowing revenge for yesterday's attack by Israel. In Baghdad today, gunmen kidnapped at least 26 people. 12 of them were taken from the Iraqi American Chamber of Commerce, 14 others from a communications company. Also today, at least 27 people were either killed or found dead. At the United Nations, the Security Council told Iran it has only 1 month to suspend uranium enrichment. If the country refuses, economic and diplomatic sanctions could be imposed. But Iran immediately rejected this resolution, saying the ultimatum will only exacerbate the situation. In Jalalabad, Afghanistan, at least 8 Afghans were killed in a car bombing today. 5 police officers and 3 children are among the dead. The violence comes as NATO forces took command of the south from the U.S.-led coalition. On Capitol Hill today, the Senate is expected to vote on opening up more than 8 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico to oil and gas drilling. The House passed a similar measure last month. And in Washington, a Senate committee will postpone a vote on whether to permanently appoint John Bolton as U.S. ambassador until September. Democrats say they want more time to investigate his previous behavior.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The parent company of United Airlines is reporting its first quarterly profit in 6 years with revenue growth at 16%. Revenue reportedly grew to $5.11 billion from last year's $4.42 billion. The FDA is considering a proposal to allow the morning after pill to be sold over-the-counter to adult women. The pill, Plan B, is manufactured by Bayer Pharmaceuticals. Cigarette maker Reynolds American posted a 50% increase in second quarter profits. Company officials credit both higher selling prices and productivity. Microsoft has handed over more paperwork to the European Union concerning a 2001 antitrust order. Regulators have not decided yet whether to levy more fines in addition to those imposed earlier this month. Nissan is donating $200,000 to Lebanon to help the country's refugees. The company's CEO is a native of that country. Defense contractor Northrop Grumman has reportedly put its navigation systems unit up for sale. The Wall Street Journal says it could get as much as $1 billion. And Henry Paulson will share his views about the economy on Wall Street tomorrow. He was sworn in as the new U.S. Treasury Secretary on July 10th. Light sweet crude settled at $74.40 today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 34 points, NASDAQ down 3, S&P 500 down 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Freer America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. And before I get over to the findings of the Bush Crime Commission, I'd like to give you again. I think John just announced the numbers to get in on the show. It's 1-877-443-2366. And joining me is an old friend of the show, our good friend Steady. Steady, how are you doing today, my friend?
We're doing good, Bruce, and hi to Agnes and Bob and everyone else that makes this radio show happen, and new producer Zach. Hi.
Yeah.
I'm standing in the middle of the parking lot in Christmas Valley, Oregon, with the arbor. She's got a horny toad frog there in her hand. Lizard. It's a lizard. It actually has a tail, but it looks like a frog. Anyway, we spent the last couple of weeks out here in Oregon. Just wanted to say hi. We're getting ready to go back to Southern Cal.
What you been doing up in Oregon, Mike?
Well, I actually have a 20-acre parcel in Christmas Valley up here. It's right across from the Johnson Farms, and next to Jack Gillette's place. Prominent old school guy up here in Oregon, and I'm in the second district of Oregon's congressional district, and we were just kind of cruising around the whole place here. This is the valley where the homesteaders had set up their, the government had given grants for people to come and free land and work the land and turn it into something productive. And most of them were run out of here by extreme conditions. We have winter and summer out here, and we've climatized, but we found out an incredible amount of archaeological findings, sandals, dated 19,000 years old, fossil lake, and a whole bunch of associated activity of civilization when this valley was underwater. And all kind, ever since the U.S. has come in here, a lot of this stuff we don't have any documentation on it. And talking to a lot of the locals out here, there have been caves that have been blown shut. And, people get run out of here if they start asking too many questions. So we're heading back to Southern California, but we're going to be coming back and developing my property. I did mention before when I was working with Miss Myrtle that I was doing a lot of digging around her place and excavation and infrastructure development. And that's what we intend to do here with Christmas Valley, patch run for city council in the city of Covina. And Christmas Valley here is not even a town or a city. The township. We're going to plant a bunch of trees and maybe do some hay bale structures. This is a gourmet hay region of the United States. They grow
gourmet hay. Is it hay that's served on a plate? Is that
alfalfa hybrid hay type mixture they serve up here? But they, if you look on Google Earth in Central Oregon, you can see the pivots. They're a full square mile. And it works on a big pump in the center of the square mile and this gigantic irrigation arm. It's like 320 acres across or something, and it sweeps around a square mile, and the guys cut their grass and deliver it. I think it's they get a couple clippings, 100-day growing season out here. But that's the big business, and there's lots of wasted hay, so we're going to try some hay bale structures maybe. Who knows? Yeah,
that should be an interesting thing.
Yeah, I'm truly coming to. Pat and I have experienced something wonderful. I want to just pass the phone to her because she has already read books. Amazing amount of stuff. Pat, you're on here. Bruce, I love you, and everyone at Horm, double call here.
I've read books.
Yes.
How are you guys
apparently,
doing?
Doing great. How are you today?
I'm all right. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Well,
so what do you guys?
A pretty big sky.
Well, you guys are up in Oregon now. Have you had a chance to go up and check out any of the local Oregonians that hang out up there?
Yeah, there's a lot of real nice people up here, but they're sort of few and far between, if you will. It's about the population density is about one person per square mile, and so you get some pretty hardy sorts out here. A pretty interesting population.
It's the don't ask, don't tell population, right?
Say that.
I said it's the don't ask, don't tell population, I'll bet.
To some extent, I think so. I think pretty hardy individuals as a body, if I should make one assumption about them. People who can sort of find their way on their own and not too particular about extremes of weather. It's extreme. It's real hot, and in the winter, it's real cold. And they get some snow, and not so much precipitation, but a lot of cold. And a lot of sagebrush here. It's an ancient inland sea. It's coming to light now. Pre-Pleistocene era inland sea. There's just so much here. They've got caves that show evidence of human habitation going back like 17,000 years, and there's this crack in the ground. There's a crack in the ground, and you can go down between these huge vertical cliffs. Pretty close together, of basalt rock, down about 85 feet. You feel like you're standing in a freezer. And I guess well into the summer, there's ice in the bottom of this crack in the ground in the middle of the 102-degree desert. It's fairly amazing.
Wow. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Now you guys have been up there for a couple of weeks, so you're heading back to California today, or?
Yeah, 3 weeks, and I think we're leaving maybe tomorrow. You know, we're thinking about settling this area with ourselves. But he was mentioning the homesteaders. I have been reading a lot of books about what the history of this place is, and you know, natural science and whatnot. Just kind of get a feel for the groove of the place, and it's been avoided by humans for a very long time. I think that these two are going to populate this area.
Okay. We are losing you on the cell phone there, but...
Sorry about that. We are a ways out.
I understand you're also running for city council down in Covina?
I have the opportunity to make a decision as to whether to do that. That moment of deciding has certainly come upon us. And so we're going to have to see what has to shake in order to make Central Oregon happen. And whether it's this might be a better dream here. Sometimes you got to keep your eyes open for that, you know?
That's absolutely right. Well, do share with Steady that I appreciate him calling in, and I really appreciate you calling in and letting us know whereabouts you guys are, what you've been up to, because you know, I sit back sometimes and think, I wonder where the hell they are today.
We're exploring. We're looking for something a little better. That's what we're up to. And I will give Steady your love, and please give Agnes mine.
I certainly will. Right on. Thank you so much for calling.
Y'all be well.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. And that's our good friend and listeners, Arbor Tender and Michael Stettler, who Michael, if you remember, was running for Congress and ended up in a situation that sort of they knocked him off the ballot or something. It really was sort of a screwy thing that happened there in Ojai, California. But we got to go over to our break now, and what we'll do when we get back is I'll go ahead and give you these findings of the Bush Crime Commission, and then we'll talk to Sarah Rich, who is the mother of Suzanne Swift. And we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network.
Everywhere is freaks and Harris, dykes and Ferris. Tell me where is sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor. Don't err on old rich no more.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. And we decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. and you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb?
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. And let's get back over to these. I want to go ahead and get this the findings of the Bush Crime Commission over to you so that we can go on and move on to some other things. Under the count of wars of aggression, the evidence, this is the finding of after 44 witnesses presented testimony in two sessions, there were the four or the five jurists. Five jurists found these, issued a summary of their findings for each of the five indictments. The evidence is overwhelming that the Bush administration authorized and is conducting a war of aggression against Iraq in violation of international law, including the Nuremberg Principles, Geneva Conventions of 1949, the United Nations Charter, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. In doing so, the Bush administration has committed war crimes and crimes against humanity. On the indictment of torture, rendition, illegal detention, and murder, there was substantial evidence submitted through testimony and documents that the Bush administration committed war crimes and crimes against humanity in conducting its, quote, war on terror, end quote. It did this by developing and implementing policies and practices that violated international law and international human rights, to force information from detainees and to punish those whom it believes may be enemy combatants. It has engaged in a systematic process of denials and specious reconfigurations of international and domestic law to justify its actions. On the indictment of global warming, the testimony, quote, the testimony of scientists and the scientific reports and other documents submitted during the inquiry support a conclusion that the Bush administration has committed crimes against humanity by its environmental policies and practices. These policies and practices appear to support corporate interests while denying the overwhelming evidence that greenhouse gas emissions are irreversibly damaging the world environment and causing present-day injury to people throughout the world. On the indictment of global health and including HIV/AIDS and family planning, the jurists are still receiving and reviewing voluminous documentation concerning this indictment. The jurists, therefore, have not reached a preliminary determination on this indictment and will publish its findings in its final report. On the indictment of Hurricane Katrina, the evidence of the Bush administration's conscious and deliberate failings in preventing the foreseeable devastation, including death toll, caused by Hurricane Katrina, particularly in New Orleans, and its failure to respond efficiently and appropriately after the hurricane was overwhelming. Its failures constitute crimes against humanity. The record is replete with evidence that the systemic, historical, racial, and class-based discrimination suffered by many of those who lost so much as a result of Hurricane Katrina was made worse as a result of the Bush administration's conduct. The conclusion, these preliminary findings will be supplemented and expanded in the final verdict of the commission. Respectfully submitted, the commissioners. Indictments, so basically they found them, they found them guilty, all except for one count, which was the global health situation. Now, what I want to get into right now is really more of a situation that has sort of developed over the last month or so. I have been watching this situation, been reading about it online, and what I'm about to talk to you about is the situation with Suzanne Swift. I don't know if any of you are aware of Suzanne Smith or who she is about, or who, you know, who she is about, what she's about. But there is a woman specialist, Army specialist Suzanne Swift, a veteran of the Iraqi War and survivor of systemic sexual assault during her military service. She is presently facing a redeployment to Iraq while serving under the command of the same individuals now under investigation for rape and sexual harassment. She chose to go AWOL rather than subjugate herself to the horrors she experienced during her first tour of duty. She has been there once. She's come back. Her supporters believe that the sexual assault and harassment is not just limited to her, but is widespread in the U.S. military, and that the targets of these assaults are given very little support, that their perpetrators often go unpunished. This belief is based on the Pentagon's own findings and the stories of assault survivors, such as that of Specialist Swift. In real time, her decision to call a halt to her own abuse has rallied the support of numerous assault survivors, both male and female, and some are finding strength in telling their stories. Now, here after our break, we will have her mother on. And I talked with her mother for a little while earlier today. If you go to SuzanneSwift.org, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Suzanne Swift, SuzanneSwift.org, you will see some of the things that that really got under my skin as I was reading some of these articles. And I guess what really bothers me more than anything else is that this is the, you know, this again is indicative of the cult, the lawless culture that has been created surrounding this president. Now, yes, of course, sexual abuse has happened in the military prior to this president. But are they doing anything about it? Are they trying to change policies? Are they trying to implement a different way of dealing with this in the military? And Sarah Rich will be on in a few moments to tell us whether they are or not. Sarah Rich. Now, again, go to SuzanneSwift.org and, you know, go during the break. Check it out. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then when I come back, we will have her on to talk about her daughter's situation and what we can do to help. You listen to the Bruce Birch radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. How do you spell bankrupt? Ask Condoleezza Rice, because she's spelling it out letter by letter over the last week as she shamefully lets Israel continue to wage its war in Gaza and in Lebanon, as she clumsily and embarrassingly opposes what any decent human being would support right now, which is an immediate ceasefire. Stop the Hezbollah rockets. Stop the Israeli missiles. Stop the strafing. Stop the killing. How many innocent people need to die before Condoleezza Rice and George Bush will finally say enough? Already about 400 people in Lebanon have lost their lives, and close to 200 of them are children. Isn't that enough? In Israel, about 50 people have died, including more than a dozen civilians. Isn't that enough? By waging this disproportionate assault, Israel is discrediting itself and, in the process, making heroes out of Hezbollah thugs. And Rice and Bush, by nakedly supporting Israel's illegal actions, are showing the world the moral bankruptcy of the United States. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI It was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online. And even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL. Whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms. And unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, right here on the Head On Radio Network. Joining me on the phone is Sarah Rich, and Sarah is the mother of none other than Suzanne Swift, who is now, I guess, confined to Fort Lewis, Washington, for refusing to go back to Iraq, you know, and enter a situation where she is has put herself, or I shouldn't say she's put herself, where people have put her in the position of being abused and assaulted. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bruce.
Now, if you could give me a little bit of background on your daughter's situation and you know what's going on with her presently.
Sure, Suzanne joined the military. And okay. Joined the Army, and she was told she would not go to Iraq if she signed up for 5 years instead of 3 or 4. So she signed up for 5 years to be a military police officer so she wouldn't deploy. And the first thing that happened when she got out of her training was she was deployed immediately to Iraq. While she was over there, she was immediately approached by her platoon sergeant to have sex and to keep it secret. She refused and went to her equal opportunity officer, and they told her basically there was nothing they could do for her. Then she basically was a free open target from then on for any other sergeant that wanted to make her their private. And her squad leader, her original squad leader, was a first sergeant, and he coerced her into a sexual relationship. What I've learned in the last 51 days is that is called command rape. When the person that has life or death decisions over you in a combat zone coerces or has sex with you, it's almost like incest, because these people are supposed to be acting as your parents and your employer and all of the above to keep you safe and to help you do your job. So she was in this relationship, this coerced relationship with this man for several months, and where he treated her sadistically and inhumanely, and finally when she ended it, his harassment and other things got much worse, and she came back, sorry, it gets me a little choked up, and she came back from Iraq, and I said, do you want to press charges, do you want to do anything, and she was so depressed that she couldn't do anything. She just put her head down and kept working as an MP up at Fort Lewis. We knew that she'd have to go back to Iraq because she had, she was supposed to have 18 months of stabilization time. She came to me about 9 months after she returned from the first deployment and said, I'm going back sooner than we thought. And I said, well, they can't do that to you. You are mandated to have 18 months of stabilization time. She said, well, they got in my face and forced me to sign a waiver, waiving my stabilization time of 18 months. So they set the date of January 06 to send her back to Iraq for a second deployment. We all kind of buckled down and got prepared for her to leave. And she came home and brought everything home and was all packed and ready to go back and go up to Iraq. And 3 days before she was to be redeployed, she turned to me with her keys in her hand and said, "Mom, I just can't go back. I can't go back to Iraq." And she went AWOL. She immediately went and saw a psychologist where she was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder due to the stress of the sexual abuse and harassment she endured while she was in Iraq, and started seeing a psychologist. And then 6 months after she went AWOL, she was arrested in my home and handcuffed and treated like a common criminal and put in jail and denied medical care and sat in jail for 2.5 days, then was transported to Fort Lewis, where she was confined to base and had a 24-hour watch on her.
She is a victim. So she is a victim here, and she's been treated as if she were the criminal.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So she went up to Fort Lewis and was placed back under the care of the platoon sergeant, the original harasser. And she called me and told me that, and I said, "Oh, hell no." And we got her out from under his control, which took a big fight, and he has a no-contact order with her now. They did a psych eval on her, saying that she has symptoms of PTSD, but not full-blown PTSD, and that she does not have a personality disorder. And now we are waiting for them to finish the investigation into her allegations of sexual abuse and sexual harassment by three of her sergeants.
What are the chances of something actually being done about this? I know you and I talked about this earlier, but you know, has anyone ever been convicted of harassment in this kind of environment?
In the last 51 days, I have done hundreds of emails from women that this has happened to, women that it's happening to as we speak, and not one of them have said, "My harasser, my perpetrator, was convicted and put in jail or released from the Army." Not once have I ever heard that they had anything more than some article slapped on them and moved to a different unit. That's the worst I've ever heard, and I have heard of horrible, horrific rapes and things of that nature that have happened, and I have not heard yet. I'd be glad to hear of somebody that was discharged from the Army, but so far I have not heard of anything like that in all the cases I've heard in the last 51 days.
How is she holding up right now?
She is a very strong soldier. I got to spend time with her this weekend, and she was retelling her story, and I was the one that was crying, not her. She's on an emotional shutdown where she is too scared to express her feelings or how things are going, because if she breaks down, she will not be safe in the situation she's in. I mean, she's being held by the people who allowed this to happen.
You know, and this is just from my own clinical background, I find it very interesting that they would try to put her through a battery of tests to look for PTSD when she is present. This is not post-traumatic. This is present traumatic stress disorder.
Exactly.
I mean, she's not left the situation yet, and
exactly.
There's no way to. I mean, and I know that you know with your background also. I mean, there's no way, you know, until she's sort of taken out of the environment and in a normal circumstance where she can interact in a normal way, can there be a true test done to see whether or not, you know, she's suffering from this? And it really blows me away that they're just hiding this away as if it were some big ugly secret. And I guess the one thing that I would say, or I would ask of you as a mom, I mean, how have you been able to deal with this, knowing that this is the U.S. military and this is supposed to be, you know, the ideal for our face around the world and justice and all that good stuff? I mean, how have you been able to deal with this?
Well, it's actually pretty heartbreaking for me because I was one of the men that raised me in my life was my grandpa. And my grandpa was a colonel in the Army. And he was the most loving, kind, gentle man on the planet. And if he were alive today, he would be, heads would be rolling. Heads would be rolling. I know there's good people in the military, and I am not anti-military. I'm anti-bad guys doing bad things to people. And it's been really heartbreaking to hear story after story from men and women about military sexual violence, and that nothing, the common phrase is swept under the carpet. That's what I hear the most frequently. And that if people step forward, they are treated as a traitor. And their rights are not upheld, and the care that they deserve is not given to them.
This is just, it is. You have been corresponding with some people. Is this a common occurrence as far as the, you know, what you're calling the command rape situation? Is this something that happens a lot?
You know, I haven't heard of that many cases of command rape, as in the person who has life or death decisions over you in a combat zone. I mean, that's pretty specific, you know, like incest. But lots of rape, harassment is daily, from the people I hear from. And one of the things that happened to Suzanne, well, it didn't happen to her, but it happened around her a couple weeks before she was going to be redeployed to Iraq. A male sergeant raped a male specialist while they were out on a training mission in Yakima. And, immediately they were in a sexual assault training, and this man who had been raped was sitting in this training with all these people, had to get up and leave because he was crying so hard. So this is happening. This is happening to men. This is happening to women. And what I'm saying is we've got to get these predators and these perpetrators out of the U.S. Army and out of the military. They are not there taking care of anybody. What they're doing is looking for their next victim.
It makes me wonder up on the recruitment battery tests that they have to go to, go through, et cetera, to get enlisted in the Army. But I would think that there would be a baseline psychological examination that, I mean, did your daughter have to go through anything before she went into the military?
Sure. I know that she went through a lot of testing and a lot of meetings with the psychologist before Go ahead.
No, I was going to say because it would seem to me that something like this would come up, you know, at some point through some sort of examination if someone was a predator or had that kind of behavior, proclivities, you know.
I agree, but you know, we also are in there. We're training our soldiers to kill.
That's true.
So if you look at the moral hierarchy, you see killing somebody at the top of that continuum at the very pinnacle. And if we're teaching them to kill, why isn't raping and harassing okay? You know, sometimes the human brain cannot wrap itself around that it's okay to kill but not okay to rape. And I think that's really evident in the things that have been happening in Iraq especially.
You know, you're absolutely right, because there's been a number of situations over there, not just with your daughter or with others like her, but, you know, with civilians. I mean, you know, we're reading about them. Of course, they happened a couple of years ago, but you know, the truth is coming out, and it doesn't look good. You know,
no, it
looks like we are sort of running roughshod over that country. Tell me about the website and some of the things that you guys are doing to try to support her.
Sure, the website is suzanneswift.org, and that's SuzanneSwift.org, and on the website, you'll find lots of different actions you can take. One of the things I'm finding in the stories that I hear from these people, these victims, is that things were swept under the carpet because people either didn't have the financial resources or the education or the stamina, the emotional and mental stamina it takes to stay the course and stay strong. And
that's something that that I am really working on, is making sure that we have enough financial backing and enough emotional support and support in the country to keep this going, so that Suzanne and others like her do not get swept under the carpet anymore. There's a place on the website where you can make tax-deductible donations. There's a place to sign a petition, which we have close, real close to 5,000 signatures. And the petition is asking that Suzanne be given a honorable discharge, and that some of the women, the experts of military sexual trauma that have come to our aid, are put on a government, a Pentagon or a government task force on military sexual trauma to put an end to the way people, victims are being treated in the U.S. military.
I noticed on your on the website, now you said that you, you mentioned a petition. Now, this petition is, what are you going to do with that once you...
When we get to 5,000 signatures, it is my intention to print it out and start sending it to reporters and to start sending it to the Pentagon and letting people know what is going on with Suzanne. I just did some research this weekend and got all of the names of the inspector generals at the Pentagon, and I'm going to start putting their names and phone numbers and emails and snail mail addresses on the website, so people can start calling in and demanding that Suzanne be given an honorable discharge with all the benefits due an Iraq veteran who has been victimized not only by being a veteran but by being a victim of sexual crime.
Right. I'm just going to real quickly, I just looked over the petition and you guys are really moving forward, and I'm going to make sure that I get my name on there. It looks like you're up to 4,858 signatures, and I'm going to do what I can to make sure this gets out network wide on our network, so that people can avail themselves of getting out there and signing on to, to help you guys. Now, you're also accepting donations. Is it primarily for the legal defense?
That is our attorney is Keith Cheer out of Chicago, and he's great. We also have T-shirts, Free Suzanne T-shirts, and Suzanne is, I'm wearing one right now. Suzanne's my hero, and it has a heart and a picture of Suzanne on it. Just anything you can do to support this effort, because not only is it helping Suzanne, but we are advocating for men and women that are victims all over the country. And another thing that makes it actually okay for Suzanne that we're doing this, because this is really hard for her and for me to be telling this story, is that we want to keep this from happening to any more of these young 18 or 19-year-olds, so they're being sent overseas in the hands of perpetrators.
It is absolutely repugnant that people can sign up for the military to serve their country, and find themselves being victimized at the hands of the people that they're supposed to be serving with. That just to me is beyond a bad nightmare. You know?
Well, in the last 10 days, I've gotten 2 hot cases where Jessica is in South Korea and been raped multiple times trying to get home. Wanda's in Afghanistan, and she's been raped and diagnosed, and they're still holding her there, even though she has she's traumatized and trying to get home to her husband and family. You know, these women are out there. They're contacting us. They're saying, "Please help me."
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And if you take a short gander through the petition, you'll see. Almost on every page, there's another military sexual trauma victim on there telling their story anonymously and speaking out for Suzanne. I've been
part of a
couple of groups called Military Family Speak Out. It's one of the main groups that I've been a part of, speaking out against what's going on to my daughter.
You're extremely courageous for putting yourself forward and for trying to help these women, because... And men, that are currently being traumatized. What plans do you have are there any plans to create like a support group network as far as to help soldiers who have returned and who have been victims of sexual assault?
Yes, actually, there's a couple of different things that my overactive brain and those
those people around me that want to find a way to help people is we're going to put if you'll see on the website it says survivor stories on one of the keys, and we are going to put an action item there for people that are currently being abused and what they can do, people that have been abused in the past and what they can do, and come up with a whole list of resources and a support site for people so that they can receive the help they want, because this is actually, Suzanne's story is actually re-traumatizing quite a few people around the country. I should say hundreds of people around the country who have been swept under the carpet, and they've closed that area of their lives off because it's too hard and too sad for them to deal with, and this is bringing up a lot of things for a lot of people.
I'll bet it is. I'll bet it is. I bet they hear this in the news or they read about it in the newspaper, and it just, you know, it clicks that part of their brain that they've been put behind the wall, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, you are a hero. And you know, I'm not a veteran. I never served. But I got to tell you, you know, for those who have and who have walked that road that your daughter is currently walking, you know, you are a hero to those folks. And I think that huge thanks goes out to you for doing everything that you're trying to do to help these people, because they need it. Nobody else seems to be doing it.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. There's a handful of us that are pretty dedicated to this. And, you know, 51 days ago, I would never have thought that I'd be, you know, here. And I just want my daughter home so she can heal. You know, she just needs to come home. And they're holding her up there, and she needs to come home.
Yeah, she does. She definitely does. Well, when you do get to talk to her, please do send her my personal encouragement and you know that she has the support of everyone of this network, and I'm sure everyone who's listening as well, because you know the way that this, you know, it's, you know, I'm almost speechless here. I'm the talk guy and I'm not supposed to be speechless.
I know
you know it's just very difficult.
It really is. And when she told that story again and the sadistic things this man did to her, especially the main perpetrator, I want to find him where he is, and you know, but you know, I'm focusing on my daughter and making sure she is healthy and finding a way for her to be free so she can actually heal, because she's not going to be able to do it until she is out of the army who allowed this trauma and abuse to occur.
So before one more thing before we go. The best way that people can help
right now would be to go to our website, SuzanneSwift.org, and that's Suzanne with the Z and two N's, and sign the petition and keep checking back with the website, because we're going to be creating a blog on there so people can sign up, and we're going to be doing action alerts for people, because we need to start making some noise, not only for her, but for the other soldiers that this is happening to right now.
Okay. Well, that's what we'll, and I'll stay in touch with you and you know, keep people posted as much as we can, letting know. Now, is there any upcoming date as far as a trial or anything like that they're going to be mobilizing support for? Or?
Well, Bruce, they haven't charged her with anything as of yet.
Really?
Because, you know, that's what they're looking at is after they did the investigation, they're looking at whether they're going to charge Suzanne for going AWOL or not. So that's where we're at. They are not charging the three sergeants that did this to her. That is something that I will have to pay for, and we will have to do on our own, because we, you know, the Army won't do it for us, which I think is abominable.
I think it is, too. You know, I mean, justice cuts both ways.
It sure does.
You can't, but.
But I will.
Sarah, thank you. I'm sorry.
I'll let you know if when they make the decision whether they're going to charge her or not.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon, Sarah, and I'll make sure to put up a link on my website over to your daughter's site there, and again, you know, please send her our encouragement, and I just certainly hope that the outcome of this is one that's full of love. you know.
Me too, me too. Thank you so much for saying that, Bruce. Thank you.
Okay. Sarah Rich, thanks for joining us. And, you know, please, please go, you know, go in peace.
I know. Thank you.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
And that brings us to the close of our program. We have, yeah, please go to SuzanneSwift.org. Suzanne, it's S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Swift.org. If you look on the left-hand side of the page, there is a little link that you can go to the petition page. Scroll down toward the bottom, and then you can go ahead and sign that petition. Let's kick it up there, folks, and I'll make sure that you know I'll be mentioning this daily for a while. I mean, it is absolutely repugnant, and I got to tell you, it is my firm belief that the that this kind of stuff goes on under administrations that are based in criminality. This current administration, you know, they have subverted virtually every law that we've got. How can the soldiers act but mimic their leaders? You know, and I'm not saying that those men, you know, or women who have committed crimes against their fellow soldiers have any way out of this mess that they put themselves into, who commit that abuse. You know, but it's well known that it's a follow the leader kind of thing, and my heart goes out to Suzanne Swift. I swear, for someone to volunteer for our armed forces to find themselves in a situation where they are the victim, and the victimizer is their commanding officer or their commander, is absolutely repugnant. And I don't want to leave you on a low note, but I pretty much have to. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about some voting issues, I believe, and some other things. And I just want to leave you with this one thought, though, and that is that when we bring these secrets to light, and when we bring these bad things that have happened to other people to light, what that does is it creates light where there was darkness. And by creating that light, what we do is we help to subvert it from happening again. And it is my hope that through the pain that Suzanne Swift has experienced, that through that pain, many, many other women will not have to experience the same thing because it was put to us to a halt. Sarah Rich, if you're listening, thank you for joining me. And thank you for putting your heart out on the line like that, because that takes guts and takes courage. And Suzanne Swift, if you're listening, buck up, you know. Justice will prevail.